It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Yes, indeed, Doc. There is coffee in the kitchen.
Wow.
I just helped myself to some. Second cup since I've been here. Black coffee. A little sweet and low that I sprayed all over the counter. See, unlike some others, I'm actually going to clean myself up. Yeah, I'm going to. I'm not going to leave a mess.
We do have some savages that happen to work
here. Got some savages. That's for damn sure. I mean, I might be a seafood smuggler, as Ben Conti likes to refer to me. I'm sorry, a seafood salad smuggler. I might be that in a bag of chips. But I do not leave a mess for Craig Hoffman. I clean up after myself. Some like to leave messes for others, you know?
That's not good.
Yeah. All right, so here's the deal. We got I want to get to Nigel because he's been on hold for a while. And then I want to get to this Tyreek Hill situation because we have different developments today that we've told you about during the trending alert, but we've got to spend some time on it. So we'll say hello to Nigel in PG County. He's been waiting on hold for a while. Nigel, thank you for being patient. How are you, pal?
Hey, I feel that.
What's shaking, Nigel?
Hey, Nigel.
Ain't much. First, I'm going to talk about the offense. Offensively, I feel like as a fan, if you walking away from this game and you don't got faith in what you see from Jaden, you know what I'm saying? Like Dr. Sabatra told you, Chris, use your eyes, okay? So he gonna be all right. I just thought the play calling was a little vanilla from Cliff. He got to cut it loose more, like, so we can actually get a chance to see more from Jaden, and that'll come once they get the camaraderie with the offensive line. But that goes back to something else that I hate about this new age of football. We don't play no preseason games, because now you got to look at these first three games for the starting offense and defense like it's preseason, because these guys ain't played no snaps with each other. Defensively, of course, I feel like, you know, the communication issues on the back end are a huge problem. That's something they got to take care of. As far as the D-line go, they was getting pressure. They got to finish, though, like I heard Doc saying earlier. And, Doc, as far as it go for your man, Emmanuel Forbes, I know you didn't use this phrase a lot. You used it a couple years ago on the radio a lot. It's starting to become a manhood issue. I mean, he just not showing it. Like, he going to have to step up and show some more if he want to continue to be in the NFL, as far as I'm concerned. I just think some of the fans are overreacting, though, as well. We got to give these guys some time to get their system in place. I'm not saying I'm not giving them no excuses as far as who we play some Sunday, but people do got to take into consideration that Tampa Bay, they don't want that division at least four out of the last 5 years.
Yeah, three Amen. Years in a row. Amen. To your point, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
That's why I'm not disappointed that they lost. I mean, I expected them to lose. Of course, you want them to win, but I'm not. Mm-hmm. I was more frustrated by how one sided ultimately and lopsided the game became.
That's fair.
And you know, ultimately, if not for some empty calories and a touchdown where nobody was paying attention, the final score is 37-14. That's more fair. Reminiscent of the second half of last year, really kind of like mid-November on, than what I was expecting. I wasn't expecting them to win. I was just not expecting to get the doors blown off.
Can you say one-sided, though? Because I sat and watched the whole game. A few different plays, and you can say this about every game, honestly, so I don't want to sound cliche. A few different plays go our way, though, momentum shift, like that horrible block in the back. Call.
Sure.
That's a touchdown play.
Yeah,
right there.
I agree.
We're looking at a totally different game.
I understand.
Defensively, though, they got to get some stops. So there's no excuse on that side of the ball. And honestly, with the Forbes thing, they may just got to sit him down, honestly. Like, I like him. I want him to do good, but he just not showing the progression that you need to show at that level of football.
Well, I think he's got one more chance probably this week. In some ways, I shouldn't say appreciate the phone call, Nigel. It's a good call. Doc, were you surprised when they came out first play Sunday? It was Forbes, St. Juste, and Sain Ristil in nickel personnel. That was their starting lineup.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was heading towards that way the last couple of weeks of camp. Everything that they said, some indications on the field, some plays that Forbes had made. Played well against Miami, held his own in that joint practice against Miami and Tyreek and so on and so forth. So I wasn't surprised by that. Were you surprised that it was Forbes over Mike Davis, the veteran corner, or did that seem to make sense to you?
No, I don't get that in detail. If I'm not the beat guy and I'm not there for every day, that's like walking past a kitchen and questioning the cook.
We do that all the time.
I don't.
I do that.
I let the coaches, whoever they put out there, that's
why.
You know they're serving
food to the media now on Wednesdays and Thursdays at Command Land? Do you know this?
No.
They have their team chef preparing meals for the media.
Maybe they heard that Linnell was going to be in studio on Wednesdays and Thursdays.
Maybe, yeah. That's
they realized that's a good, it wasn't going to take bet. A huge that's cut a good, out of their
budget. If only people understood how much bitching there has been about the amount of food that we bring in for, like, Doc on Tuesdays or on Mondays and Fridays when Nell isn't here. That's a really good bit, Matt, and a really good point
based
that
on
I didn't think of.
How hard it is. I'm not hard, but it's not easy covering the team.
No.
The beat people.
Yeah.
Put in so much work and hours.
Oh, I know.
That's the least, even if it's just a box.
Yeah. That's not, and I mean, it doesn't look like a box to me. It looks chef prepared.
If they're laying it out right, they're smart.
Yeah.
Because
you got to keep media
to work
happy.
Your sure. belly, especially covering a bad product.
Oh, yeah.
They're smart.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Justin from Richmond says, our guy at Justin underscore RVA says, Daniels gets a C-minus for me. Watch rookie highlights. All of his were runs. I saw him miss throws, didn't climb the pocket, be uneven in accuracy. Hope he fixes the helmet situation, learns to slide. But he protected the football and didn't create sacks. Did he protect the football? He had three fumbles. None of them were lost. But he had three fumbles, including the very first play of the game, which goes not as an incomplete because it was a 15-yard loss, but it was a screen, like on a swing, right to the right flat. I think it was to B-Rob, and it was thrown 4 yards behind him.
Yeah, I remember that.
But it goes as a fumble and not an incomplete.
Yeah, you're right. It really is. I mean, we're splitting hairs. I would prefer that if there's any chance that anybody there would ever hear this, that you hear it be a C or a D+. Because all that matters is that it's an L. And the only thing that I'm focused on is that it's an L. So everything else to me is irrelevant. Because if you want to give him an A and it's an L, then placate yourself. All you're doing is making yourself feel good.
That's interesting that you say it that way, because I thought for sure when I asked you for a report card grade, and I was like, you can go, you know, like standard fair A through F. I thought you were going to say it was an L.
No, really. Because, again, had I been able to see it and look at it the way we look at a game, then that'd be right. I have to stop myself and go look at it like a fan and go, okay, right, C, whatever. It don't matter. Because to me, I know what he's thinking. To him, it's an F.
Yeah.
Because he didn't win. He failed.
For Jaden.
Jaden.
Like, if Jaden gave himself a report card grade,
privately,
you think it would be an F?
I think Jaden's mad as hell. I think he's telling his people that are intimate to him, he like, because he's used to winning.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody that looks at this game and you're not an athlete, I get it.
I mean, what, they have 4 or 5 losses at LSU last year, I think?
Four? No, was I don't it? Think they've, have they
three
ever
four,
had
three
five,
or four,
four
losses?
Or five
I'd have to look it up. Their defense was
it. That
awful.
Defense was terrible.
I mean,
but I think he had more. I don't know.
I'll have to look it up.
Here's what I know. Whatever it is and whatever it wasn't good enough.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, I've already, but I guess this is my Monday. So I've got to treat this like my Monday.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I've spent way too much time talking about Tampa and not New York.
The LSU football record last year. Including their bowl win, which he did not play, was 10-3. So they were 9-3 with Jaden at the court. All right, so I was a little harsh on them.
Yeah,
their defense was dreadful last year. I mean, if he wasn't so dynamic, they probably would have been 6-5.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to this, Doc. There's been, you know, of course, a lot made since Sunday morning, right around 11-ish, somewhere in that range, when we first started hearing reports of Tyreek Hill getting pulled over, arrested, detained, handcuffed, all that stuff. And a lot more has come out in just the last, let's call it 18 hours, since the release of the body cam footage of the arrest and of the incident that was, again, released. The Dolphins have put out a very strong statement.
Mm-hmm.
The Miami-Dade Police Union, I think is that's the official term for them, they put out a strong statement yesterday basically saying the reason why things escalated was because Tyreek Hill was uncooperative and all that. Now, today, the new word is one of the police officers is seeking reinstatement from administrative duties. I do not know exactly which officer and what exactly he did, but basically that's that story. Then the follow-up to that is Drew Rosenhaus, the agent for Tyreek Hill, who was very critical immediately on Sunday, told the Dan Le Batard show today. He's still pissed. He said, for me personally, I believe the police officers that did that to Tyreek shouldn't be in that position. They should be let go. I assume you watched the arrest video.
Mm-hmm.
When I saw that changed a lot for me because my first instant reaction was, man, how fast was Tyreek going for him to be pulled over for reckless driving where I was being told that he was pulled over?
Mm-hmm.
And what did he do or say to elevate the situation from your standard routine traffic stop?
Mm-hmm.
And now we've seen, well, he closed the window on them and he refused to lower the window.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know exactly how fast he was going, but there were some speculation that he was going like 100 in a 40 zone. I don't know if that's true or not. Mm-hmm. I have not seen anything official, so I'm just going to reserve judgment and say he was handed like a reckless driving charge. He obviously was driving at some sort of rate of speed. But, Doc, what I saw in that video is so frustrating from the standpoint of, you know, my stepdad, God rest his soul, was a police officer for 20 years in New York City. Mm-hmm. One of the hardest areas of the world. I mean, he would tell me some horror stories of the things he saw. And he said, it's my stepdad, if he retired the day his 20th year anniversary hit. Mm-hmm. And I said, Dad, I said, why did you quit? Like, you know, like that's a good job, you know, all that. He said, honestly, if he would have spent one more day on the beat, that he would have done something he regretted forever.
Yeah, it's tough.
You know, that's a really, really, really tough situation.
It's tough on them and it's tough on the people. Imagine what happened to people of color before the cams.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. Well, and it still happens even with the cams, right?
Well, because they know.
It's just mitigated to a lesser degree.
Yeah, they know the cam doesn't mean this.
But ultimately, thankfully, nothing truly violent happened here, although it could have escalated even more. But when you see the way, I guess, Tyreek was treated, even though he did some things to elevate or agitate, is that, hey, man, that's just the way it is in those hostile situations where the cops don't know if he's rolling up the tinted window where they can't see inside to grab a weapon or to do something or to hide something.
Yeah, I've never been on the other side, but people have been shot and they have been abused under circumstances, not knowing if somebody just ripped off some place. It goes both ways. I'd like to see both sides deal with it a different way, but they don't. And people are belligerent on both sides, but nobody deserves to be yanked and thrown around and put on the ground and treated that way. But it happens in volume so often, and very little ever seems to happen to the people behind it. And that's why it continues to happen. And so we'll see.
I mean, this is such a high-profile situation.
Shouldn't matter.
That it almost seems impossible to think that these officers that were involved, and I don't know exactly their names and whatever, that they're just allowed to just return back to normal. That is not something media, both locally and nationally, and lawyers, Andrew Rosenhaus, is going to just look the other way and go, okay, nothing to see here, right? I mean, they almost have no choice but to fire these guys. You're asking the wrong guy,
because I've seen too much, so. Yeah. You're asking a guy who saw the Rodney King stuff and saw people.
Mm-hmm.
we don't have consistency. We have very little consistency in our country, in a lot of different areas.
Yeah.
So there's really nothing I can say to you or this audience that I go, oh, wow, I've never seen that wrong. I've seen it a lot of times.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I want to know is what's going to be different about this one. It shouldn't matter who he is. He's a citizen. Whether or not he was a jackass or what he said, but the officers have been shot before in some similar circumstances if they don't have clear vision. I understand that. They're lucky because if I'm that fearful of things that could happen to me, I might have even been worse if I asked you to do something. So there's points on both sides.
Yeah, I agree.
They have to be respected.
I agree.
But then again, as a citizen, to be pulled out and yanked around and put on the ground and cuffed, come on, man, seriously? That's the point where you got to get a grip. And he got a camera. Now, I know what happened before the cameras were on.
Right.
And I've got people and friends that have been victimized without the camera. So that's where I'm going, who are we kidding about this? That's why I'm waiting to see what happens. I think both sides needing to tighten their acts up on both sides. But then again, citizens do have rights. And if we can't trust people in uniforms, we got a real problem.
We know there are Johnny Bad Apple seeds everywhere.
In everything.
Right? The narrative that I think is really, really tough for me to process is that because of these very high-profile situations, I mean, you know, we all know the you mentioned one of them. We just all know the bad isolated history, whatever. It doesn't mean that all cops are bad. And yet that's the narrative that plays out in social media and in a lot of people's minds, that all police are bad. That doesn't mean that all police are bad because there's a couple of bad seeds.
No, it don't. But you don't know who's pulling you over.
Right. Well, exactly.
I know when I'm pulled over, I don't mess around.
Yeah.
I'm petrified thinking that I may get Johnny, you know, Johnny Outlaw, and I'm trying to keep my hands attending to what do you need? What did I do? Yeah, whatever you say, let's get me out of it. Because I know you don't know what happened to this guy yesterday.
Yeah.
Or the day before. See, that's what
the
nobody
officer,
knows.
You mean.
The officer. Yeah. You have no idea what he just experienced.
And that would be their point is they don't know with heavily tinted windows what he's going to do.
Yeah, first of all, there's a reason why there's laws on levels of tint.
Mm-hmm.
For a reason.
Yeah.
Not somebody just.
Did they know when they yanked him out of the car that he was Tyreek Hill? I couldn't determine that.
I have no idea. I have no idea.
Because I didn't hear him say, I'm Tyreek Hill, or, you know, they were looking at, like you know,
one thing you learn in life, never assume people know who you are.
Right.
Because maybe they don't have to.
Is there a...
But I just
heard, based on how I heard him
talking about him. First of all, you have to understand, if your windows are tinted and you don't have your name on your car, you can't assume the guy knows who you are.
Yeah. I know this is a simplistic question, and I don't know. I don't think there's an answer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is there any way to fix this?
Well, that comes from the top-down leadership.
I think, you know, people talk about defunding police all the time. Mm-hmm. I think we need to fund more psychological training.
People say that have never heard a noise and called 911.
Yeah.
Now, what do you suggest you call them when you need help?
Yeah.
What's the remedy to that?
Yeah.
The question is, we are so cowardly in our society that we won't have open dialogue, just like talk radio. Mm-hmm. That's why I love this vehicle so much. We get more done here than most political avenues do.
Yeah.
Because we talk to people.
Open exchange of ideas.
Open exchange of ideas without it being like, I'm not the right all the time. I don't necessarily, I'm not saying I'm a hot box and I'm going to treat you. But we get to discuss things.
Mm-hmm.
We can overcome values. We can understand you don't know what I've been up against.
Right.
And I don't know what you've been up against. We're able to talk and reach common ground on things like teams. But race is an issue. Economic values, they're issues. It does matter. Gender, they're issues. But people don't want to, they want to skirt around it. They don't want to deal with it. And that's our problem. And the police issue is one that I know damn well that there's been people that have come into this and have been hiding behind shields that are flat-out racist bigots. They know damn well that's the case. And it has been proven and they've shown it. And they have chosen not to deal with it properly.
That's the DOC. Great point there. We'll move along and we'll get into Shiloh Sanders? Yes, Shiloh Sanders. There's so many Deion Sanders kids playing at Colorado that I got confused for a second.
I don't know how you watched that game in its entirety.
I did. I couldn't believe it. I was looking for Colt McCoy.
Pathetic offensively.
We'll get to that. And what happened there at the end, and was there any rhyme or reason? Coming up next, plus cleanup on aisle three, dumb dumb of the day, all to come before 4 o'clock. And Greg Hoffman with the DOC on the Team 980.
Wouldn't you like to know?
Oh, Matty Ice is up to no good. Shenanigans.
No, he's up to good. And Doc, I mean real good.
You know who screwed up? I'll raise my hand. I did. I called him Shiloh Sanders. That's the linebacker safety that got injured and had surgery. That's one of Deion's kids.
Shador Sanders
is the quarterback. I screwed up on the names. Yeah. I'm sorry. So I just want to correct the record that I was wrong there. All right. So here's the deal. A couple of stories that emerged out of Colorado's somewhat embarrassing performance last night. I should say Saturday night. And look, it was a bad loss. Nebraska wasn't very good in the second half. I get it. I understand that. But Colorado had no answers. And it was really the first half that sucked, okay, for them. Now, here's the deal. Deion is having to face criticism for not only what happened Saturday night, barely beating North Dakota State, what happened down the stretch last year, all of the media criticism, what have you, the media wars that he started. But now, okay, Shador Sanders, the other night, goes walking off the field with a couple of minutes left to go in the game, right? And a lot of people were like, wait a second, what's going on here? And basically, as I understand it, he got a little bit banged up and the game was clearly over and he was just heading off to the locker room, right? You want to call it evaluation, what have you, I don't know. But a lot of people made a big deal out of it that this was not a traditional injury situation and that he was actually walking out on his team. I don't know if you saw the video, but I mean, he was with team personnel.
I stomached
personnel.
Through a half of it. I kept going back to say, well, let's see if they ever figure anything out offensively. It's one of the worst offensive performances that I've ever seen. I go, not that Coach Prime has to be a good head coach. He's a good marketeer. He's putting millions into Boulder. He's economically a genius.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, but you got to have the ability to attract offensive and defensive minds. He's got a lot of celebrities over there, but obviously nobody's been able to teach anybody how to do their jobs.
Mm-hmm.
So unless results don't matter at all and people are just like to feel good, I don't think it's going to be sustainable. And so, and this would be an epic collapse. Or they'll recover, and they'll win 3 or 4 or 5 in a row, and the beat will go on. But right now, this looks like the Titanic to me.
Yeah, it does not look very good. Now, they beat a feisty, plucky North Dakota State team.
Excellent. Okay. Yeah, coach, that team that barely, and I don't even know how that happened.
Right, right. But here's the thing. You know this, okay? I mean, like when you do things, especially as the quarterback, you know, we touch on Robert from when Robert would say things or do things like put on full pads and full uniform for a preseason game that he was not playing in and warm up like he was playing in, that just raised everybody's eyebrows, right? When Shador Sanders left the sideline the other night, down 28-10, with granted, like 2 minutes left to go in the game after a meh performance. 23 of 38, 244, pick six, terrible pick six that really opened up the score. When he got banged in the head, right, on the final drive of the game. He finished the drive, so he stayed in the game and actually threw a touchdown, right? But then he goes back to the locker room before the game was over.
With the trainer?
Right. Yes. There was personnel there. Okay. So that's why I didn't think it was that big of a deal when I saw it. But a lot of people are making a big deal that he walked, because he walked into the locker room under his own power, because he wasn't removed from the game when he actually got hit on the head and then threw a touchdown, that people thought that he was walking out on his team.
Yeah, well, that's not.
I mean,
they're delayed. I mean, if as long as he was with a trainer and he walked out with someone, that's
well, medical. It's not clear that he was with a trainer. I mean, he's with Colorado personnel, but it's not clear that it's a trainer. As a matter of fact, just to me, it doesn't look like somebody that would be a trainer.
Personnel. In other words, he wasn't alone. He wasn't by himself.
He was not alone, correct. He did not just walk off the sideline and meander.
Then it's fine.
So I don't think this is that big of a deal.
Right.
But a lot of people are after him, calling him selfish. Then he tweets out something, this week we work, or something along those lines. And people just roasted him on social media. And I'm like, listen, I know this kid doesn't operate like most quarterbacks do. He's got an elevated view of himself. His daddy's got an his daddy is already threatening people that this is going to be an Eli Manning situation when Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter come out, that they are going to control where those guys go.
Oh, it's going to be good for us.
It's going to be great for us, but it's bad. It's a bad look for Shedeur. It's a bad look, I think, for Travis Henry. It's a bad look for Deion. But at some point, we also can't make a mountain out of every molehill. Does that make sense? I mean, if he got banged around, even if he stayed in the game, sometimes the symptoms don't immediately come. Now, you would like there to be a doctor or somebody that looks like a medical trainer to be walking back with him. So that part is the part that I don't know. But maybe he was just a little confused. I don't know.
You're much nicer than I am. I'm worried about not. My focus is on Nebraska. So I don't give a damn what the losers do or did. So I think Nebraska bringing back their national championship team, honoring those great guys. See, you chase the tailpipe. I seriously, if you didn't bring that up.
Well, I talk about what people are buzzing about.
I never even heard about it. And had I heard about it, I'd have never even mentioned it. Because they're the losers. And again, I don't chase the amateur.
Well, we can't ignore every team that loses.
Oh, yeah. I guarantee you. You're the first person that's even mentioned it to me. I haven't heard about it. I would have never even known it existed, and it wouldn't have affected my life one iota.
Okay.
But don't let me stop you from being you.
Well, I'm just bringing it up because it's a big story around
not
the
not a big
around,
story.
Yeah.
Can't be that big a story.
That's
I've never
a big
even heard
story.
Of it. It ain't a big story to me.
I mean, it's on Fox News. Never mind Fox Sports. It's on Fox News.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. I don't chase losers. Yeah.
I mean, not everybody wins. That's,
world. I don't live on that planet.
All right. Yeah. Okay. All right. Time for a trending alert, and then we'll come back, clean up on aisle three, including and featuring our week one NFL picks, not even against the spread. You're never going to believe how this turned out. You'll hear it next. All right, so as we told you earlier this hour, Tyreek Hill's agent, Drew Rosenhaus, is calling for at least one police officer involved in the arrest of his client, and maybe more on the Dan Lebatard show today, that the police officers shouldn't be in their position and that they should be let go. He didn't use the term fired, but they should be let go. Meanwhile, the Miami-Dade Police Union is seeking reinstatement from administrative duty of one of the officers, and the Miami Dolphins issued a strongly worded statement defending Tyreek Hill. last night on social media more as that situation develops. Along the way with that, the NFL is apparently investigating the latest lawsuit filed against Deshaun Watson of the Cleveland Browns. Of course, all of this was from when he was with the Houston Texans. This, a sexual assault and battery claim in October of 2020. They have no plans, at least for right now, to put him on the commissioner's exempt list, which they didn't do after the original lawsuits were filed anyway. And the Pittsburgh Steelers apparently set to start Justin Fields for a second straight week, according to Ian Rappaport and some others. Others are saying that it's not quite a decision made yet, but Rappaport saying that they've made the decision. And what's interesting here is that would mean Russell Wilson is not going to get to go against Sean Payton and his former Denver Bronco franchise from last year in that game coming up in week two. And that's what's trending. All right, coming up, dum-dum of the day before we get on out of here and make way for Craig Hoffman coming up at 4 o'clock tomorrow. It is a Windbag Wednesday, if we can make it to that point. 1 o'clock. You know who will be here. I did see the youngest in charge, Toby Altizer, roaming around a little bit earlier.
I'm glad you finally made the adjustment.
I'm just trying to validate.
He's a talent. He's a talent.
No doubt. I'm just trying to validate how your perspective.
Well, I enjoy Toby.
I do too.
And
we got a lot of good young talent on this roster between both stations. I mean, Denton Day, does a great job. College football,
NFL. Mr. College football.
I mean, Toby Altizer, Ryan Clary is a good young guy. Locked On Nats podcast.
Yeah.
Matty Ice, even though he doesn't want to host shows. He's the best we've got, right?
Couldn't afford him to. They couldn't afford him.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Yeah, couldn't
that's
afford
true.
Him.
We got a lot of good young talent. Did I forget anybody in that group?
No, I think you did just about everybody. Okay. AMAC is a good young New York Giants prospect. Yeah. He's hit the scene, produced the entire post game solo. Mm-hmm.
How's he going to be this Sunday?
I took it on the chin this week. But
this is your week.
So excited.
Speaking of good young talent, Anthony Haney just walked by.
Oh, the kid with the chemical. He's really put on some size. Mm. He's worked. Honestly,
he's been training.
He looks good. I mean, Nell put on. Them cheeseburgers he puts on.
Well, you should see what I found on the floor and in the garbage pail when I came in yesterday. Whoa. I mean, it was a long day of eats.
Most of his salary's got to go to food.
Yeah, for the YIC.
Oh, my God.
I mean, I found it all over the floor and in the garbage
bag. Yeah, no, he's enormous.
All right, let's get to what do we do at this time? Help me out here, Matt. I hope Matt's okay with it. Because I didn't really ask. What we may have missed, what we forgot, what we need to touch on, what we promoted that we didn't get to, and even if it's just a minute or two, a mention.
Clean up in aisle three.
Clean up on aisle three. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. So the cover story on ESPN.com right now is about Juan Soto's impending free agency. And it says, before free agency, Juan Soto has unfinished business with the Yankees. Now, a little clip of this particular column, I'm trying to find it again here to get the exact wording, is that Nationals officials very clearly want Juan Soto back. If that part is true, and again, not a shocking development when you see like the hug and the conversation that Mark Lerner had when Juan Soto was back here 2 weeks ago.
Right.
Before Juan obviously drew the collar for three games and went 0-12. That's all great and good that the Nationals want him and that other teams want, they got to pay for him, Doc. And he's having a great year, and he's having a big year. And if he has a big October, we'll see what happens, you know, because obviously he can make even more money. Now, I will just say this, okay? They say in this piece, correctly, the Mets loom as the Yankees' strongest competition, right? Steve Cohen's got a lot of money. They list the Philadelphia Phillies, the Red Sox, the Cubs, and the Dodgers as other contenders. They say, here's the exact wording, the Nationals would love a reunion, according to people with knowledge of the situation, but it would take ownership allocating more money for Soto than they were previously willing to offer. And 2 years ago, he turned down a 15-year reported $440 million offer with no deferrals from the Nationals. I mean, we all knew that as long as Juan Soto stayed on track, and he struggled in San Diego until late last year, and then he got on a bender, and he's been great so far for the Yankees. We all knew that Juan Soto was probably going to cost somewhere in the neighborhood of $550 million. So the Nationals ownership could want all they want. They could lust after him. They could ooze after him. They could salivate after him. You got to pay him. Do we believe that the Nationals are going to pony up $550 million to bring Juan Soto back home? I don't for 1 second.
Unless going through this gap has convinced them that it's better to take a shot after this unusual talent that loves them as much as they loved him.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. If there's anybody, it's him. If not, no. But if it is anybody, I do believe it's him.
That's fair. That's a good point. Mm-hmm. Because there's no question.
You don't find people with his talent.
What I wonder is, like, you know, like the Corbin Burns up in Baltimore is a free agent to be. He's having a great year, maybe a great October. I mean, he's going to cost $350 million.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even, like, they need starting pitching more than Juan Soto, probably.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even see them doing that. And they're a starting pitching organization. That's what Mike Rizzo's DNA is. I just don't see it. Maybe I'm wrong. I just don't see it. All right, let's do this. We made picks as a radio show last Friday, before week one.
Mm-hmm.
We gave everybody a win for Kansas City on Thursday night. I thought that was the only fair way to do it.
Well, everybody picked them anyway.
Linnell was right. Well, maybe somebody would have picked
nobody
Baltimore.
Nobody was picking Baltimore.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I would have picked Kansas City. You would have picked Kansas City. I'm sure Matt Smart would have picked Kansas City. Matt's coin would have picked Kansas City.
The coin,
Linnell may have picked Baltimore because
he's going to say what after the fact. Yeah.
Well, here's the deal. Mm-hmm. So we made all these picks, not against the spread, which is actually hard to do, right? I was 3-3 in my Super Six Pack. Again, the most creative segment in sports talk radio history.
Yeah.
Nobody's ever done it before.
Nobody's ever heard of it.
Exactly. I was 3-3 against the spread in my six games.
Okay.
But straight up, we picked games as a show.
Mm-hmm.
You want to know what your record was, Tom?
I already know what it was.
Picking 15
games?
Yeah,
I was horrible.
No,
I was.
No, I will not allow you to besmirch
yourself.
No,
I was horrible. By my standards, I was horrible.
Okay, well, by your standards. But you were 9-6.
Yeah, I was horrible.
That's a winning record.
I picked the Jets.
You did pick the Jets.
Yeah, and I picked Cleveland.
You did pick Cleveland.
Now, I did that just to mess with Clay.
Right.
No, I will admit that one.
You did pick the Jets. You did pick Cleveland.
No, seriously.
You picked Denver in Seattle. You picked Green Bay against Philadelphia and San Paulo or whatever.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Yeah. That's the only one that I'll stay with.
All right. You were 9-6, though.
Yeah, it was horrible.
That's solid.
No,
I mean,
horrible.
It's not great,
it's
just
horrible.
Straight up, but it's solid. It's better than some others. Matty Ice.
Yeah.
You had a coin flip.
Coin flip.
You determine each one of your 15 picks.
Mm-hmm.
A coin. Not anything that you knew, just a random coin.
Mm-hmm.
You want to know what your record was?
Yeah, tell me what my record was.
8-7.
That's honestly better than average.
Yeah.
What you would expect out of a coin, right? I mean, it's almost like
it was a flip.
If you
of a
had
coin.
I said on Friday, it's almost like if you had a monkey, like somebody else,
a chimpanzee, right?
Yeah.
Right.
If you almost did that as a way to pick games on the radio.
So in other words, a monkey could have done that. So it is impossible for anybody to be worse than that.
Well, not quite, Doc. See, here's the deal.
I mean, all jokes aside.
Right. I was horrible. Okay, I was one game better than you, but not great. Well, I was 10-5.
You have to. I would have taken 10-5 because the only thing that I would regret, Cleveland. I really thought their defense, and I hadn't seen Chubby Checkers play for Dallas in a year or so, and so I'll stick with Cleveland on that. Well, and but no, I'll stick with where I'm at. I'm disappointed as hell.
I lost Atlanta. I lost Cincinnati. I lost Cleveland.
That Cincinnati was
somehow I had the Giants winning straight up.
No way.
Yeah, I did.
Oh, see, how bad should have been. You should. Yeah.
And like you, I had Denver. So I was 10-5. Okay.
Yeah, but Denver. No, I'm still not regretting Denver.
But Doc, do you notice something that is conspicuously missing here?
Well, I know Linnell. What he went 14-2. What was he 14?
No. That's his predicted record for the Commanders this year.
Yeah.
Well, Linnell Willingham. Mm-hmm. The youngest in charge bowel movement.
Yeah, the nationally syndicated, the guy that he just did the Howard University Bison play-by-play.
The prestigious voice of the Howard University Bison.
He's nationally syndicated. Yes. So the guy who covers this wall-to-wall.
Yes.
Okay.
The man who says he eats, sleeps, breathes. NFL football.
NFL, yeah.
In 14 games.
Right.
Which should immediately send alarm bells off in your mind because Doc had 15 games. I had 15 games. Yeah. Matty Ice's monkey had 15 games.
Yeah.
Linnell Willingham in 14 games went 4-10.
No
what?
Way. You messed
straight up.
Now I got to protect the dude now on this because you guys pick on him way too much.
We do?
No. There's no way. A guy that puts this much time into this. He's on the air 24/7, okay? He's nationally syndicated, right? This is all he talked about. He was what?
I'm just a big idiot.
That's pretty much solid.
Yeah, you know.
That says
now you
it
made
all.
It known. We've known that. Now
four
you are starting
and
to make it
ten.
Part.
He didn't pick one of the games. We all picked 15 games. He decided, I'm better than that. I only need 14. And then proceeded to go 4-10 in his 14 picks.
Yeah.
Not against the spread. Straight up.
Straight up.
4-10.
And he wants people to follow him.
In his segment that
BTP
he created.
_ and all that crap. Well, why would you follow him?
@Nell_BTP You know what it sounds. You know what it stands for, right?
Big time player.
No. Big time pain in the ass.
Oh, that's right. Big time pain in the ass. You're right.
It used to be big time.
No,
player.
You're right.
He's
big time pain in the ass. You know what?
Big time pain in the ass.
I'm gonna take. I'm with you. How could anybody? Now I admit I was horrible, but God,
4-10, Doc. 4-10.
4-10.
That's a big hole to climb out of.
Matty, tomorrow.
That's the guy you recreated your schedule for. All right, we got to.
You know what? I might not even listen tomorrow.
Clean up in all three.
Why am I listening to you two tomorrow?
I couldn't wait to run all that by you. When I tallied that up this morning, I was like, what? My eyes basically popped out of their sockets. Coming up next, we close up the show. Dum Dum of the Day. You're never going to believe what an idiot teacher did to a young boy. And it's not what you think, so just hang on. That's coming up next on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Oh, Matty, you got a sick and twisted mind. All right, a quick wrap-up to the show because we got to make way for Craig Hoffman coming up at 4 o'clock, and we don't want to miss a minute. I'm going over the Nats game tonight. First time in a while. Good pitching matchup.
You throwing out the first pitch?
No. I would never be invited to do that, although I would throw a strike. It is time to wrap up the show.
It's time for Dum Dum of the Day.
Speaking speaking of the Nats game, before we get to Dumb Dumb of the Day, it's beautiful out. Sunny, somewhat cool. Temperatures in the mid-70s at first pitch tonight, 6:45.
Fantastic.
Between the Braves and the Nationals, Reynaldo Lopez and Mackenzie Gore. Might be a fast-moving game.
Yeah.
So be there on time. It's Tuesday. They got all sorts of discounts, whatever. Today's game day weather is presented by Pepco. Storm season is here, and we know a little prep makes a big difference. Get storm informed at pepco.com/storm prep. All right, dumb dumb of the day is this, Doc. Imagine being a 46-year-old teacher at a public school in New York City, in Manhattan, right? Upper Manhattan. And imagine putting a 5-year-old student, a 5-year-old young man.
Kindergarten.
In a headlock.
I can't.
Would there be any reason that you could think of that a 46-year-old man would put a 5-year-old child in a headlock?
Not unless it's his own son.
Yeah, well, even if it's his own son. Well, the incident, apparently, according to police, took place earlier this week. I guess it was yesterday at PS 153, a junior elementary school, right before 1:30 earlier this week. The teacher named Anthony Wicks was taken into custody and charged with acting in a manner injurious to a child, according to police. Not the only incident, of course, that has happened in terms of New York City schools and whatnot. An incident earlier happened between a 14-year-old student and a teacher at James Madison High School. And of course, different circumstances there. This is a 5-year-old child that was put in a wrestling headlock by a 46-year-old teacher. As far as I'm concerned, they can throw away the key. But that might be too kind. That might be too kind. So that is how we end things up.
I'm sure.
Congratulations. You're Chris's dum-dum of the day.
Yeah, sorry to say, Mr. Wicks, not very smart. Not very nice of you. All of our show today, coverage, football, presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile, and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. Craig Hoffman up next. Doc, thank you. Appreciate you.
Thank you. Good luck tomorrow.
I'll need it again. Against that brilliant brain surgeon,
he's a sore loser.
That just went 4-10 against the spread. I'm sorry, not even against the spread.
He didn't go against spread.
Straight up.
He's a loser.
How does that happen? Oh, my God. I'll see you at the Nats game tonight. We'll see you back here tomorrow at 1. Thanks, Matty Ice. Thanks to everybody.
Pitch?
Nobody wants me. See you tomorrow at 1. Adios on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.